Back to reality.
It's the show where we discuss the most topical of topics, the most controversial of controversies, and the most important affairs of affairs.
Roundtable from Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Dear listeners, welcome to today's episode of Back to Reality. Thank you so very much for being with us. I am your host Zainab, and in the studio with me, I have my brothers in faith and humanity. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, brothers.
Alaikum assalam.
Brother Yasir from South Africa.
Thank you so very much for being with us. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. My name is Daryl from USA.
Thank you so much for joining us on today's episode of the show. So today we're going to be discussing a very crucial matter, which sometimes isn't talked about enough, in the spirit of supporting whatever takes place in the path of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. Don't get me wrong. Of course, whatever effort anyone puts into, whatever genuine and pure intention effort anyone puts into upholding the name of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam is rewardable and is valuable. But today we need to talk about the mistakes that we as normal people see, which take place in the majalis of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam and on the pulpits, on the minbar, that people speak about Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. This is an issue we need to address now more than ever. I need to say this before we move on, because we live in a time and era where all eyes are on us. We are literally under a magnifying glass, and the entire world is watching the Shia nation so closely, waiting for it to make a mistake and then just point it out and then turn it into a shoe and then hit us on the head with. So we need to be super careful now more than ever. What are the mistakes that take place in the majalis and on the manabir of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam that commemorate Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam?
One, I'll point out that I feel and I've seen is that, unfortunately, okay, let's, coming from an environment that is not Shia, for example, a country that, you know, Shiaism is new. Islam is new, but let's just say Islam is something new. You have certain individuals or certain people who are migrants who come to a certain country and in that majalis, in that particular country, not understanding the culture of that country, implement the culture they come from back home.
Yeah.
Right? I remember I was went for tabligh a couple of years ago to Australia. And I remember there was one of the brothers there, he said to me, you know, our children don't like to recite Nawah like we did. I said, don't expect them to. Why should they? Give them the opportunity to create their own environment and their own way of which to, you know, mourn for Imam Hussein, to commemorate Imam Hussein. Give them the opportunity. Don't force them to do things that you did. This is a big mistake. One of the big mistakes that people do is that those who left, well, majority of Shia in the Western world, if you want to call it that, were migrants. And they took with them their own baggage, you know, and not understanding that, you know, this might be good in this country or in our country. For example, now there's a book that is quite nice. It's a memoir, a book of memoirs by one of the scholars who went to India and Pakistan.
Yeah.
Right? I can't remember. The scholar was Ayatollah Langrudi, rahmatullah alayh. And he, in this book, even though there were certain things he did or he might not have agreed with, he didn't criticize it. He just saw it. One of the things that he saw was obviously the kamazani, the heating. Right, we know it is haram, you shouldn't do it, it has a bad impact, the internet is full of it, and so on and so forth. He said that in that particular time, at that particular culture, where one, social media did not exist, there was no internet, news never spread.
And there was no propagation.
No, and in that small particular area where this took place, the reason, and it was controlled obviously, it wasn't as we see sometimes, it was there as a means to show certain people grief. Who believe grief could be shown in this way. That now does not exist. People don't say that, oh, in order for me to grieve, I should hit myself with a sword. You know, that's not something that today's, in the modern world, people, you know, take very easily. And also with the other thing I mentioned of social media, people looking at, as you mentioned, any mistake. On that note, I don't know if you remember, I think it was, it's not something new, 2004, 2005. I remember on the front pages of the British newspapers that had pictures of a young baby from Lebanon and his the mom with a blade. And on the next picture next to it, they had a picture of a giraffe looking after his baby, trying to make it stand.
Yeah, Ali.
This is when 2004, 2000, even maybe earlier, I was in England 2002. So around 2003, 2004. So it's not something new. This was newspaper. This was a British newspaper showing this. This is not
what
new.
What we
basically
have done to ourselves.
So, and so this is something to keep in mind, besides all the other stuff that I'm sure Brother will mention. That one of the mistakes that is made is this lack of cultural understanding of where you are, what's the needs of the people,
whether or not it's
whether or not it's allowed, whether you should do it or not. You know, who's looking at me right now? And quick, one more personal story, and then I'll pass it over. There were two youngsters. This again was in England. Again, 2010, something like that. There were two youngsters who did the kama, who did the blade. The zanjir. In Pakistan culture, it's the chains, right?
Yeah,
the
there are chains and there are like little hooks dangling thing, from them. So and then it just catches onto your flesh and it just pulls a chunk off.
So therefore, there were two kids in Audhubillah who did this. They went to school, teacher saw it. Call social services.
Oh my God, they thought they were being abused at home.
Right? Call social services. Father got on to, you know, so then all of a sudden this whole issue in England had to change. The scholars had to get involved. Police got involved. Certain criteria had to be done, you know. So even now, unfortunately, this in our own community is an issue.
Yeah.
So this cultural baggage, this not understanding, just doing things because you feel like, oh, Imam Hussein
would appreciate this.
Come on. If you are chasing people away from deen, you are accountable for it.
Exactly. Brother Dada, what do you think goes wrong sometimes?
Well, Brother mentioned very good points, and I think so he covered the whole thing. But one thing is this, expression. This goes all back about expression.
Yep.
People love and like them to express themselves. Especially for the things they love.
Definitely.
For example, if they love their wife, they take a flower for her. If they love their children, they buy gifts for them. They celebrate, they do this. So people have different way of doing things to show different way of love. Mm. So the intention is right. Intention is good. They want to show love. It's fine. But now we have to see, as the brother said, where we are and what time we are and what group we are and where we are standing in the world. The situation, we have to analyze the situation around ourselves. So now we claim that we are Shia. One of the things about the Shia is, in our theology, everything is with mantiq, with logic.
Exactly.
So we prove every point and everything with the logic. So we have to justify, we have to give the reason. Because we need the reason.
A reasonable, sound reason. An intelligent reason.
Because all the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, they answer all the question of Muslims, non-Muslims, the convert, or whoever, they came from them, they answer them the logical answer.
Yeah.
We don't have analogical things in, and that's why one of the reasons you can easily see the fake hadith from the true
hadith.
Authentic hadith. Because in the fake hadith, you see, what is this?
Makes no sense.
That makes no sense. That's what, to check the hadith, they said, put it by the Quran. Mm. That's a kale. Mm. That's a way you can see that it's true or not. So we need to find a reason. Where does this come from? Question number one. Is anybody can answer to me? Brother, do you know where it come from?
Which one?
The tatbir.
People give reasons, but that reason that they give, I myself have criticized it. I have done nacht of that very reason that they give. One of the reasons that they have given, and maybe you heard it, is that one of the family members hit her head on a bar. So I said, okay, fine. Even if she did, her circumstances and your circumstances are completely
totally different.
One, two, she's not shar.
She's not hujjat.
Yeah, she herself, even if she did do something like that, it's nothing to do with you. Her actions have nothing to do, it's not sunnah. It's not something that you should practice upon.
Exactly.
Even if she did do it.
And it does not bring any religious obligation.
So third one, you said, look at the actual sanad and the chain of narration. All that needs to be researched. But besides all of that itself, if it's weak or not, even if it's weak, even worse, even if it's strong, it has no proof for you. You have no right to act upon it.
It's no delil, it's no hujjat. Yes.
So that's one of the proofs that they bring. But it's very weak. Yeah. And that's right now, for example, I think Sayyid Khamenei had a very beautiful point. And he mentioned this quite, I think, a while back. And he's one of the only Maharaja that I know, besides others who came after Imam Khomeini, who was the beginning of this movement. He said that, you know, from its roots, this is wrong.
Yeah, exactly.
From the actual roots, this is wrong. He said, and he says that one example I heard, he said, when they banned in certain countries the majalis of Imam Hussein, because they know that if done properly, it can cause what happened in Iran, if done properly. So what they did is they banned certain majalis, but they allowed people to go out in the streets with swords banging in their heads. What does that tell you?
Exactly.
So again, going back to the expression, as the brother mentioned, you know, there is no reason. There's no logical.
There's no legitimate, intelligent reason.
Reason for us. And one of the signs of the Shias, and I asked their mom, he said, you go in the town, you see the most rich and intelligent person, they are follower of us. Mm. Yeah, that means the intelligent is already the core of the being a Shia. But we have to understand the level of the people and understanding and the teaching that the people, the leader of religions through the history, or the historical aspect of it, that how it just was carried on through to the society. So in time of Safavi, like, you know, the procession and all this thing, where they came from? They usually, people, there's a historical thing that say it just came from Christianity. So again, we have to go and do the research and see like how much of it is authentic and how much of it is just a historical thing based on what happened in the past.
Definitely. There are so many aspects still, aside from this bloodshed that people choose as a means to express their love for Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. First of all, we're not here to judge anyone. You know, at the end of the day, answer to your God and to your Imam.
I like to do that. If it's something good, if you can pursue me, that it's something good, you can convince me, I like going to do that. It's just like, but I just want to know as an individual, as a human being, intelligent human being, I just want to know by hurting myself and cutting myself and throwing my blood outside, how can I help Imam Hussein by doing this?
How can
I serve
the
Imam Hussein by doing this?
Exactly.
If it's something my Imam said, I will do it. But just show me where it came from. I just want to understand. Help me.
Definitely, because Imam, like we said, Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam's movement is a movement based on intelligence, on intellect, on reason, and on submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these are the four main elements that we need to maintain in our practices, in our rituals, that we feel is our way of expressing our devotion and our love to Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. Another aspect that I definitely want to talk about, and we're almost out of time, is stop talking about dreams. What's that all about? Like on the minbar, that person in that village of that country 175 years ago had this dream, told his grandchild, and then his grandchild wrote a book about. First of all, dreams are personal matters. They really depend on that individual's personal state and understanding of an event. So we cannot generalize it on masses like that.
The dream is like, you know, dream is not a hujjat. You know, dream is only hujjat on the prophets. That's it. It's a type of the wahy, you know, the like Prophet Yusuf.
It's a sort of a revelation.
Yeah, sort of, or the Prophet Ibrahim.
A channel for the prophets to connect with God.
To connect with God. It's not for like whoever see. So it could be a wahid for your individual himself, but it's not the hujjat.
It's not the proof. And we can't generalize it on people like that.
Don't use the word wahid, use the word ilham.
Ilham. Revelation and inspiration. Mm-hmm. So the revelation is only for prophets, you know, that they can see the dream as a revelation.
And it's a proof to them.
For individuals, it's inspiration.
Exactly.
It could be, and it's not the dalil or it's not a reason for others.
Yeah, and we can't generalize it. There are a lot of aspects in which we can develop ourselves so that we can really fulfill the objective of mourning for Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. We cannot emphasize on this enough that Imam al-Hussein and his movement is all about submission. You mourn for him the way it pleases him, not the way it feels good to you.
It's like, I think so. It's not, say, pleases him, because as a, like, creation of human, Allah said, I do not need your worship. I do not need you. It's Imam Hussein. Imam Hussein does not need us. We need Imam Hussein.
Exactly.
So,
but then again, Imam As-Sadiq alayhi salam says, be zenith for us, you know?
Be zenith for us, for yourself.
Exactly. Be... make us proud, basically, in short terms. That's all the time we have for today's episode of Back to Reality. Thank you so very much, brothers, for your time. And thank you to our listeners for being with us. Until another episode of the show, we leave you in the care and protection of the Almighty. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Ya Allah, Ya Rabb al-Alamin, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim. يا ربي لدي أمّا رازك
يا الله
يا رب العالمين يا رحمن يا رحيم يا ربي لدي أمّا رازك لتصيد دلعتك وانسكن